It's game day, and this is the home of Scottish football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good afternoon and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on Scottish Cup weekend. Rangers join Hibs in the next round after a comfortable win against Stirling Albion. There's a host of cracking ties this afternoon with drama and romance almost guaranteed, and Celtic's attempt to try and regain this famous old trophy starts at Alloa later this evening. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me, we've got Alex Ray, Gordon DL, Mark Wilson and Hugh Keevans.
Forget Alloa Celtic. Forget the possibility of cup shocks at Ayr or Kelty or Kilmarnock. The Scottish Cup has been rocked already. Andy Halliday has scored a goal and made a goal for Hearts in a convincing win over Auchinleck. We will never hear the end of it. And you will never hear the end of it for me if Clyde Bank beat Annan after the defeat of Clyde in the third round. We gave the world the QE2. We gave the world Kevin Bridges. We gave the world John McGinn and Marty Pello. We gave the world Singer sewing machines. We are the paper hankies.
He's left himself off the list, very humble. But Mark Wilson, absolutely love this weekend.
Yeah, I do. I said the other night, it plays a big spot in my heart. I made my debut for Dundee United in the early rounds 20 years ago, so I know what it means to young players and teams, smaller sides, getting a crack against the big boys. And I just wonder if there's many shocks in there today. There's lots of interesting ties. Hugh mentioned one, Clyde Bank. Can they do it? Can Kelty do it? There's plenty more. Can Dundee go to Dumbarton? Looking forward to it.
Yeah, I think the boys will tell you the Scottish Cup's brilliant to play in, Gordon. Whether you're playing the big teams or you're one of the big teams playing the lower teams, there's always a cup shock in the making. I think there will be one today. I know that Hearts, everybody was looking at going, being very difficult, but they're comfortable. But there's plenty of games, plenty of entertainment, and I think there's a cup shock there, and I've got it, and I will tell you at 3 o'clock.
You cannot beat this weekend, Alex, yeah. Because you've got storylines everywhere. You've got romance of the cup. You've got journeys to parts of the footballing world that you've never been before. It just sets up every single year. Even if you don't get a shock, just some of the stories that it throws up, some of the occasions, it is a wonderful weekend, yeah, in the footballing calendar.
Yeah, and some of the scenes, Gordon, we've seen some of the lower teams celebrating and so forth. I agree with the guys. I think there'll be one or two shocks today, and it's one of the trophies that actually eluded me as we actually watch a thunderous strike by Hearts there. What a fabulous strike that was. But as I say, Gordon, that's obviously a couple of games already taking place. That's Rangers and Hearts into the next round.
And Hibs, of course, as well, from the previous evening. Yeah, there will be no shock at Auchinleck today. 80 minutes gone, Auchinleck 0, Hearts 4. Peter Haring,
what a strike,
adding the fourth. So Hearts looking very comfortable, a very professional job. He takes that ever so well on the turn and rifles it high into the roof of the net. So sit back and enjoy proper drama on Scottish Cup weekend. We hope we're here until 6 o'clock. We've got Celtic's trip to Alloa a bit later on, and all the usual fun on a Saturday afternoon. You can stay in touch all afternoon on Twitter at Clyde SSB, and of course we will open the phones a little bit later on. So with that in mind, let's start going around the games, because we've got some fantastic ones to look forward to. If we're on the search for a shock, could there be one at Fir Park, Fraser Wishart?
I'm sure a lot of people are looking at this game, Gordon, and thinking there could be a bit of a shock. As you know, over 30 years since Motherwell famously won the cup on that day against Dundee United, and the fans would love a day at Hampden. But when the draw was made, Motherwell, I think, wouldn't have been too unhappy. That old cliche, getting a game at home against a team struggling at the bottom of the table who'd recently sacked their manager. But this match is now a wee bit trickier, I think, for Motherwell. Dougie Emmy's come in and has got an immediate reaction as manager of Morton. Two wins and a draw. I've got them off the bottom of the Championship, and a 5-0 win against Dunfermline, an excellent 2-0 win last week against Ayr. No goals conceded, looking strong. And at the same time, Motherwell had their winter break, all the fury around Tony Watt, who's now moved on. And then defeat in their first game back, which was on Tuesday night against Ross County, who were down to 10 men at the time. So I think Graeme Alexander will have his team on alert. He want them to start the game really well and impose themselves on Morton from the kickoff. Because if they start poorly, Morton will just get a wee lift and really fancy their chances. Of course, Motherwell know how difficult they can make it. The Greenock side, two sides met in here in last year's cup. It took penalties for the Fir Park side to go through, and Morton have plenty of experience throughout their team, like McLean and Lithgow at the back are very strong. Gary Oliver, experienced striker, now playing in midfield, and Gavin Riley, always a danger with his pace up front. To the teams, a bit of a surprise from Motherwell, Van Veen is dropped to the bench and Mugabe is out completely. In come Carroll and Shields. They go with Liam Kelly in goal. Stephen O'Donnell, Sondre Solheim Johansson, Jake Carroll and Nathan McGinley at the back. In midfield, Sean Goss, Liam Donnelly and Barry Maguire, with Kane Woolery, Connor Shields and Jordan Roberts up front. The subs, Scott Fox, Kevin Van Veen, Liam Shaw, Yohani Ojala, Darragh O'Connor, Callum Slattery, Justin Amaluza, Dean Cornelius and Ross Tierney. For Morton, they're not surprisingly unchanged from the win against Ayr last week. Jack Hamilton is in goals, back three, Matt Ledger, Alan Lithgow, Brian McLean, five across the middle, Jamie Brandon, Reese Lyon, Cameron Blues, Gary Oliver, Lewis Strapp, and up front, Gozi Ugwu and Gavin Riley. Their substitutes, Joshua Bysouth, Ushin McEntee, Kyle Jacobs, Robbie Muirhead, Mark Russell, Darren Hines, Michael Garrity, Alexander Easdale and Alexander King. And the referee today at Fir Park is Nick Walsh.
Let's hear from Graeme Alexander.
It's a brilliant competition. I think the history and the prestige of this competition is important. It gives clubs like ourselves and opportunities to have successful seasons on the back of it. I think we saw that. Everyone in Scottish football saw that last season with St Johnstone. But it's you have to focus on the one game in front of you. You always dream of these moments when you can, where you can eventually be successful. Every club has stories of, you know, famous cup campaigns, and they live long in the memory. But we just need to focus on how we beat Morton.
5-0 Hearts now. Alex Cochrane adding the fifth, so very, very comfortable for Robbie Nielsen's side. Fraser, just looking at that Motherwell team, Tony Watt has gone to Dundee United. Kevin Van Veen speaking to the press yesterday, saying he thinks he can be the top scorer in the division. He's dropped onto the bench today for whatever reason. I just wonder if that's something Graeme Alexander will look to address, because although he has an attacking trio, none of them really out and out strikers, would you say?
Yeah, I agree. He's gone with sort of three sort of wide players. Even when Tony Watt was here, he played mostly cut off the left-hand side. And Van Veen was the main sort of target man. He's strong, he bumps into people, annoys defenders. And the pace of the likes of Woolery and Roberts and Shields around him was an asset. So I'm a bit surprised. I didn't see the game in midweek, obviously. But, you know, even if Van Veen didn't play particularly well, I'm really surprised he's been left out of this game. In a game when you're expecting Motherwell to have most of the ball, so you'd imagine they'd be around Morton's penalty box, and you've got somebody that scores goals like Van Veen, then you'd like him in the team. So yeah, a bit of a surprise, maybe just a bit of a shake-up, just on a couple of changes, but just to show people Graeme Alexander's not happy with the performance during the week. You know, that was a poor result, 1-1 at one point, and they're down to 10 men, Ross County, and they won comfortably 3-1. So yeah, a bit of a surprise. But they do have him on the bench. They've got Liam Shaw as well, who's on loan from Celtic, of course. They've got one or two others who can grab a goal. But the main man, Van Veen, on the bench, I think that's a big call.
We'll elaborate more later on, but to you four in the studio, is Fir Park the destination for your shock?
I don't think so. Although Morton are celebrating the anniversary, the 100th anniversary of winning the Scottish Cup. So it will be a special day for them. And they've done well under Dougie Imrie. But no, I can't see Motherwell going out at home.
In a word, you
nope.
Three?
Not for me.
No. Not for me either, no.
Okay, right, we'll see. Let's keep going around the grounds. I suppose a similar fixture in terms of top flight against Championship, albeit away from home for the top flight side. Somerset Park, Ayr United against St Mirren. Let's speak to Gabriel.
Yep, fans starting to arrive here at Somerset Park. It's one win, one loss so far for Lee Bullen at the helm here. It was a good victory against Arbroath in his first game, but they were poor last weekend, losing 2-0 at home to Morton. He's hoping that the Cup can give them some respite and perhaps kickstart their league season as well. They sit seventh in the Championship. They make two changes since last weekend. Ryan Gondo and Michael Moffitt come in, with Joe Chalmers and top scorer Tommy Adeloye dropping to the bench. In goal, it's Aidan McAdams. The back four of Jordan Hughes, Houston, Jack Baird, Sean McGinty, Patrick Redding, Mark McKenzie, Aaron Muirhead, Andrew Murdoch and James Maxwell in midfield. Whilst Ryan Gondo makes his first start after arriving from Wealdstone, he'll play just off Michael Moffitt, who scored in the last round against Albion Rovers. On the bench, you've got Albinson, McAllister, Fjortforth, Adeloye, O'Connor, Ekrapont, Chalmers, Afolabi and Bridham. What about St Mirren? They also make two changes. They were playing on Tuesday night and it was their first win in 12 games. They impressed with a 2-1 victory against Dundee United. Kyle McAllister and Christian Dennis come in for Alan Power and Eamon Brophy. Attacking changes, you would think perhaps that suggests what Jim Goodwin is thinking here today. In goal, it's Jack Alnick. The back three of Marcus Fraser, Joe Shaughnessy and Charles Dunn. Jay Henderson, the 19-year-old who scored a cracker on Tuesday, starts right wing back. Kyle McAllister will play as the most advanced midfielder with Ethan Erahon and Conor Ronan behind him. Scott Tanser on the left-hand side. Greg Kilty was man of the match midweek. He plays just off Christian Dennis. The referee here is David Dickinson and we're expecting 3,500 fans here in Ayrshire.
Yeah, looking forward to that one. Let's hear from Jim Goodwin, get his pre-match thoughts.
Yeah, really looking forward to it actually. The last game I played down there was a really important one actually with Alloa. We needed a point on that particular day against Ian McCall's Ayr and to stay in the championship. And it was a great atmosphere again. You know, it always seems to be a very vibrant, and you know the fans down there are very energetic. And the fact that they're so close to the pitch, it's a real old-fashioned, old-school ground. You know, the terracing all around and the shed end, and it should be a fantastic game and one that some of the younger players probably have never experienced before. You know, they're used to turning up into the, you know, the nice Premier League stadiums, if you like, with the big dressing rooms, and it's going to be very, very different.
In a word, anyone got that for the shock?
Oh,
yes, I have.
Closer.
You
closer.
Do? Okay. Hugh Keevans?
Possibly. But in midweek, with St Mirren getting the result they got against Dundee United, they've got to go there buoyant. And it sounds as if Jim Goodwin is actually loving the thought of the atmosphere, the old school atmosphere. So I think St Mirren will survive the occasion.
I'm going for St Mirren also.
Okay, let's keep going then. We're in search of our shock this afternoon, with no disrespect to the favourites, of course, in any of these ties. That's just the nature of cup football. I think everyone has a look and sees what upsets there could potentially be. Kilmarnock against Dundee United, it's another top flight versus championship, albeit David Friel, for many years this would have been top flight against top flight.
Yeah, it has been for many years, Gordon, and I think if Kilmarnock were to win today, I don't think it would be that much of a shock, given Dundee United's form. It's officially the start of the Derek McInnes era at Rugby Park. This is his first home game as manager, sorry, and there are a lot of new faces on show for Kelly Ash-Taylor, Dylan Tate and Daniel Mackay, both of those on loan from Hibs. They also make their home debut, and he is back. Scottish football is never dull when Kyle Lafferty is around, and he's on the bench for Kelly after rejoining the club yesterday. So looking back, he scored 13 goals in 13 games for Kelly last season. He was prolific, and he also loves playing against Dundee United. Kyle Lafferty, he has 9 goals from 16 matches against him for his various clubs, and he scored a hat-trick against United for Kelly just last season. So it's got all the makings of a crack, and let's hope it's exciting as the last Scottish Cup meeting between the teams in 2013. United ran out 5-2 winners at Tannadice in that game. Scotland captain Andy Robertson scored twice, and according to the history books, Mark Wilson put in a real solid shift at right back that night. Start with the Kelly team. Zach Heyman in goal, Jack Sanders, Chris Stokes, Ash Taylor and Brandon Holstrup at the back. Midfield three, it looks like Blair Alston, Dylan Tate and Rory McKenzie, with Daniel Mackay and Fraser Murray either side of Ollie Shaw. Subs for Kelly are Walker, Hodgson, Waters, Ewan Murray, McGinn, Polworth, Armstrong, Burke and Kyle Lafferty. As I said, United in a really awful run. They have lost their last 6 games and they've actually only won once since the 23rd of October. You know, Tam Court's such a good start to the season, but they've really, really dipped. They will be backed by around 2,000 travelling fans today. You know, a great support coming down from Dundee, and they'll obviously be desperate for a win to kickstart their season. In terms of team news, Tony Watt, come on, as a sub in the defeat against St Mirren during the week. He makes his first starts for Dundee United since arriving from Motherwell, and it's quite an attacking lineup. Looks like a sort of kind of 4-3-3 formation potentially. Benji Sigrist in goals, Kieran Freeman, Ryan Edwards, Charlie Mulgrew and Scott McMahon at the back, Dylan Levitt, Callum Butcher and Adrian Sporla in midfield, with a front three of Tony Watt, Mark McNulty and Nicky Clark. Subs for Dundee United are Eriksson, Niskanen, Pollitt, Nielsen, Glass, Harks, Mokri, Aperi and Fuchs. And the referee at Rugby Park is Willie Colum.
Okay, let's hear from Dundee United boss Tam Courts.
I think it's a very difficult time. I mean, they're a Premiership football club. They'll be targeting getting back into the Premiership at the earliest opportunity. But I think for us, we need to continue with the mantra that we've had that served us well so far, that we give the opponent respect, total respect in terms of the preparation. But we've got to be excited to go down there, excited to get back to winning ways. I think we sold something like 1,400 tickets, maybe 2,000 by the time Saturday comes. So we're going to have a healthy, vociferous backing. And the motivation for us is to get into the next round, perform well, and really get our season kick-started again.
A team who's made it to the latter stages of many cup competitions in recent seasons, but I'm sure want to go one better. Aberdeen taking on Edinburgh City, Dave Galloway.
Well, Gordon, Aberdeen's approach to Tuesday night's draw against Rangers here was absolutely spot on. And boss Stephen Glass is demanding exactly the same against Edinburgh City as they embark on their mission to win the trophy they haven't lifted for 32 years. Today's visitors sit 30 SPFL places below the Dons, and it's the first time they've reached the last 32 of this competition in their history. But Gary Naismith's squad contains players who've played at a decent level, and they'll take to the Pittodrie pitch this afternoon with absolutely nothing to lose. Not surprisingly, no changes at all for Aberdeen, so it's Lewis in goals. Across the back, Ramsey, McCrory, Bates and Hayes. Midfield, Hedges, Ferguson, Brown and Ojo, with Jenks playing off Ramirez. Substitutes, Woods, Gallagher, McGinn, Emmanuel Thomas, McGeoch, McLennan, Campbell, Barron and Kennedy. As for Edinburgh City, three changes for them, the men coming in. Hamilton, Farrell and Robertson out. Drop Bryden, Travis and Sterling. It looks like they're going to mirror Aberdeen's formation, 4-4-1-1. Schwaik in goals, a back four of Logan, Farrell, Hamilton and Bryan. Midfield, McDonald, Murray, Tapping and Handling, with Robertson playing off C. Substitutes, Leafield, Riki, Barron, Boyle, Fraser, Berry and Crane. And your match referee here this afternoon at Pittodrie is Alan Muir.
Now those are our featured matches, but seriously, we could go all day, because Hugh Keevan's the featured match in your heart, in our hearts, Clydebank against Annan. We've been here before, we've followed the journey. It was Elgin, then it was Clyde, and now is the next chapter.
It's great. My body is here in this studio. My heart is along the road at the Yoker Dome.
Producer Callum, see if they win. Do you, we could fire him in a taxi and just send him along and just see what's going on. He says he'll drive you, actually.
Well, that's a great idea. Great idea. But, you know, that day against Clyde lived long in the memory. I sent the two strips that I bought that day down to Brighton. There are two people in Brighton wearing Bankies jerseys today. Never mind the Seagulls. This is about the paper hankies, but Annan are doing very well. Their league form has been good, and they gave Kelty, who everyone's looking at today as a possible cup shock, they gave Kelty a going over recently. So I'm not 100% confident. I am simply closing my eyes, crossing my fingers, and trusting in a higher power.
But when you look at some of the fixtures, just fantastic stories whilst we're on the search for a shock. Dumbarton, Dundee, anyone?
No.
No for me.
Kilmarnock's a shock for me. I think Dundee United will go out at Kilmarnock.
Banks with D, Raith Rovers?
No.
No.
Okay. No.
Peter Head, East Kilbride?
No.
Partick Thistle, Airdrie? None of these would be huge no. shocks.
I think Kelty for me.
Kelty, St Johnstone.
That's the one for me.
I think
can Kelty, the cup winners go out to Kelty the following season?
I think it's possible. I think Kelty today will be the big shock today. I think St Johnstone will win.
Nine defeats in the bounce for St Johnstone.
Yeah. St Johnstone will beat Kelty too.
You think so, Taz?
100%.
Last week you said near B tournament 100% play for Celtic. I haven't had the chance to pull that up, pull you up on that.
He was injured, Gordon, was he? Oh,
was
on
he?
The bench.
Okay.
So there you go.
We've got an all top flight clash as well between Livy, Ross County and Alloa Celtic later. So it's going to be a fantastic day of cup football. Make sure you stay right where you are. We're going to take a look back, get a good debate going about the week's biggest talking points. We'll do that next.
Action as it happens. Your reaction from five on the open line. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson, Gordon DL, Alex Ray and Hugh Keevans in the studio. The top team all around the grounds, up and down the country, because it's Scottish Cup weekend and it always throws up some fantastic mouth-watering fixtures. We've given you the team news from our featured matches. We've looked across some of the others as well, and we will get back to it. We'll go back around. But at this time on a Saturday, we usually get all the guys involved and look back at the week's biggest talking point, or biggest talking points, depending on how busy a week it's been. And it has been a busy week. I feel like the week ended though, Hugh. Last night's show, back pages of the newspapers, with Rangers writing to the Scottish FA to complain about the refereeing of the game against Aberdeen, highlighting a series of errors they believe were made. What do you make of all this?
I believe it comes from that office within Ibrox where they complain about everything. I don't believe that this has anything to do with Giovanni Van Bronckhorst. I believe that Rangers have gone after Kevin Clancy as they went after Willie Collum. I'll be interested to see how many Rangers games Kevin Clancy does in the short term, because when it was Willie Collum who was criticised by Rangers and they issued a statement saying that he had a problem with them, or they had a problem with him, Willie Collum didn't do a Rangers game for 6 months. So I'll be interested to see how Kevin Clancy gets on from here. I think Rangers blithely ignore the fact that Kevin Clancy was bad for both teams. And had he done the right thing and awarded Aberdeen a penalty following the clash between Alan McGregor and the Aberdeen player that was involved, he possibly changed the complexion of the match. Because if it's a penalty, and if Aberdeen score, and I understand that the award of a penalty is that, the award of a penalty, not the award of a goal, but if Aberdeen score, it changes the complexion of the night. So I think Rangers blithely ignore.
Are they ignoring that though, or because a decision goes in your favour, does that mean you can't also sort of feel hard done by, or feel, because I think you would agree, wouldn't you, that a lot of mistakes were made? I think you've shown your hand on that before.
Without doubt, I do think that Johnny Hayes should have been sent off for the involvement with Borna Barisic. I do think that Aberdeen were due their penalty. I don't think there's any dubiety about it, but there is no doubt that the referee got several things wrong for both teams.
Alex Ray?
Listen, I don't have issues with people complaining. I did it myself when I was managing. You know, sometimes you're looking at it, there's a frustration, and then you then contact the SFA. I went up to see the head of compliance, you know, before this new guy, and he said 4 out of 5 were penalties. But the actual reality is that nothing actually gets done. In my opinion, nothing gets done. In terms of his performance, I said on Twitter directly after the game, he was poor. It's not often you upset both teams. Hughes just mentioned Johnny Hayes for the little elbow, which is fine. That should have been a second yellow. But then it goes back to the original yellow card for the coming together with Ryan Kent. So, you know, you look at that incident in isolation. For me, neither of them two were a yellow card. I thought he lost control of the game, and I didn't actually see it as an overzealous encounter, Gordon. I didn't see really bad tackles flying in, and I just thought he made a rod for his own back, and he kind of lost more composure than the actual players.
Yeah, weirdly, I don't hear much debate about those actual decisions, Fraser Wisher. I feel like everyone... Not everyone, you're never getting that, but most people who've been on the show feel that Aberdeen should have had a penalty. They feel that Ryan Kent was harshly treated to be sent off. Maybe a bit more debate about the penalty with the ball moving and Johnny Hayes won. What do you make of, not necessarily the decisions themselves, but that as well as the fallout from afterwards?
Well, I think we've all pretty much agreed with the decisions, and Kevin didn't have a good day at the office. A lot of dealings with Kevin, and actually, he's actually one of the better referees. He's very approachable for the players. The players like him as well. And he had a bad day. There's no doubt about that. And clubs up and down the country will be mourning today in this Scottish Cup. I mean, Fir Park, it could be that Motherwell and Morton, one of them doesn't agree with a decision or thought they should get a penalty or whatever else. And that's what happens in Scottish football. And a lot of them do phone up behind the scenes, and they'll have a chat with Crawford Allen, who's the head of the referees, and maybe a chat with the compliance officer or whatever else. But I'm not sure what good that does, and maybe just gets it off the chest. And I'm not sure what right to the SFA with 8 points. Ian Bankie had a go at Nick Walsh a wee while ago as well, and individuals. I'm not sure what that can achieve. What we can't reverse time, we can't go and change decisions. They've just got to go on with it. And I think it would be a real shame if Kevin Clancy wasn't to referee Rangers games in the short term, because he had a bad day. That was it. There was nothing else. There's nothing malicious, nothing sinister behind the scenes of it. He just had a bad game, and for both teams, as we've actually pointed out. So Rangers are perfectly entitled to raise their issues. It'd be interesting to know, and I don't know exactly the nature of any conversations they've had or any constructive dialogue, because if you open up to one club writing to you, and then you open up and you have a meeting with them, you'll have 42 at your door next Monday. So I'm not sure where this one goes. I don't think it goes anywhere. It's just Rangers maybe just raising the points to show the fans that they are doing so, and they're showing the fans that they are as unhappy as the fans were at a few of the decisions. But I thought McGregor was a penalty. I thought Ryan Kent was harshly dealt with. I thought Lewis Ferguson's was a penalty, the one that he scored. So there was all sorts of things going on in the game that we can all disagree with, but it will blow over, and we'll hear from another club in a month's time, I'm sure, about moaning about referees as well. It's the nature of the game.
Yeah, you get the sentiment, David Friel, because ultimately if everyone's unhappy at the standard of refereeing, and everyone here is saying that he got things wrong for both teams, some people would say, why not raise it? Why not try and get some accountability? Why not try and drive up the standards of refereeing? But then other people would say, how's that going to make any difference? I mean, you watch, well, you won't have because you're travelling down to Rugby Park. Hearts, who won the game today, are furious at some really, really bad mistakes that were made in the first half by the referee or the refereeing team. So again, I don't know, do we get conversations, statements, meetings about that? Is it certain times? What can be achieved?
I think every club is entitled to complain. You know, Rangers are entitled to complain about some of the decisions the other night, and Stephen Glass and Aberdeen are entitled to complain. I think open dialogue's good. I agree with Fraser. I think if there's meetings all the time about every single decision, then it's going to be a very busy hand in foyer waiting to speak to Crawford Allen. But Gordon, I'll say it, and you probably know I'm going to come up with this, VAR. On Tuesday night, everybody could see what had happened in terms of various incidents. Bring it in. The refs are being hung out to dry here. The refs need help. If they're not full time, some of them aren't good enough. I agree with Alec. After about 5 minutes, I thought Kevin Clancy wasn't in control of the game, and it wasn't that. I've seen worse Aberdeen Rangers games over the years. I just think we have to give referees more help, and I think that's going to be technology. I think it's the only way to solve some of these ongoing, every year, annual spats.
Is it the public nature of it, Fraser? Let's be honest, if it's Celtic or Rangers, a bigger splash is made, more people pay attention, and again, but it doesn't always go public. For instance, I know for a fact, and you'll probably know which one I'm talking about, of a Premiership team who felt aggrieved at decisions earlier this season, who spoke to the refereeing department, at which point the refereeing department apologised, admitted that a game-changing decision was blatantly had gone against this team. The apology was made, and you go on, is this any different? Or is it because it's Rangers? Is it because it's the Big Two? Is it because it's been made public? What's different about this?
I think all of those, you know, I'm not sure where the story came from, how it was made public, but it was. And Rangers fans, I'm sure, will like that. They'll like their club. It seems Motherwell here, if something happens, they would like their club to be seen to be questioning things as well. I'm just not sure what we're trying to do here. I mean, yes, raise complaints, perfectly entitled to do so, and yes, we can have higher standards. But Kevin Clancy had a bad game, and in general, I think he's a decent referee, and he just had one bad game. And I'm not sure, but see this apologising stuff, you know, do we want players to come out and apologise when they mess up, or managers to apologise when they make a bad substitution or poor team selection? I just don't know what clubs want, you know, and clubs moan all the time about refereeing decisions, and rightly so. It's part of the game. We all talk about it. That's part of the excitement of the game, and talking to your pals about things that go right and things that go wrong on a Saturday. Yeah, of course we want to have better referees, and that's down to the refereeing department to try and help Kevin Clancy and others come out of this situation. But when it's a public domain, I mean, something could happen here today, Gordon, and I don't know if it will reach the newspapers at all, depending on what actually happens. So it is, of course, amplified when it's the big teams. It's amplified in the newspapers and in the wider media. But we really have to be careful we're not driving people away from the game and away from refereeing, you know, because that's the last thing we want. We want our best referees refereeing at the highest level. And Kevin Clancy, in my opinion, is one of our best.
Fraser, that's the point I was going to raise with you. You and I can remember when the referees here went on strike and we had to bring in foreign referees. Right now, and I accept the standard, in my opinion, the standard of refereeing is not high in our country. However, referees are currently held in contempt and viewed suspiciously. We had a caller on last night on Super Scoreboard who told us that it was premeditated. He knew that Kevin Clancy would send off a Rangers player. Now, this kind of nonsense could take us back, Fraser, to the point where referees, Crawford Allen, may decide, OK, you can't have a game without referees and we're out until behaviour improves. Is that a possibility?
Well, has the horse bolted on that, Fraser, I wonder? Because I can't remember who mentioned it. Whether it is that it's just the big clubs that flex their muscles more or whether it just makes more headlines, I'm not really sure. But someone referenced earlier on, or was it last night, that at Celtic's AGM, Ian Bankier took his opportunity to have a say. Rangers have written this time, and it's, you know, it's back page, it's headlines. Does that put unnecessary pressure on officials, or does it just something that needs to be done if standards are poor?
Yeah, I mean, Kevin Clancy is a lawyer in his day job. You know, the last thing he needs or wants is to be back page news. And they get paid, of course they get paid, and it's a decent part-time wage, but it's not the bread and butter for the referees. And people do say, well, we need to have them full-time. I'm not sure. Well, certainly I don't think the game can afford it. I'm not sure it's going to make them any better. But we just have to be careful. Referees have always made mistakes. There's far more scrutiny now. You know, look, I'm sitting at Fir Park. I played for 7 years for Motherwell, and back in the day, referees made mistakes. It was never amplified because there weren't cameras at most of our games. We were only on the telly, you know, three or four times a year when we played the Old Firm, and there was one game got highlights. So the pressure on everybody was less, and the scrutiny is just more and more. Everybody's got cameras, everybody's got phones, everybody's got the social media, the internet, etc. So the pressure is higher on referees, and we're quite right, we should demand more from referees and higher standards, the same as we do from players. You know, we should keep driving up the level. We've just got to be careful that we're not making it with people who are decent referees coming through thinking, I can't be bothered with this, I've got a day job, that's more important to me than being in the back page of the newspapers. Yes, raise it. And you're right, it's amplified because of the Old Firm, it's in the newspapers because it's the Old Firm. It happens on a weekly basis. I know managers phone Crawford Allen every single Monday. There'll be half a dozen managers phoning him, and I don't know if they get any satisfaction. It gets them off their chest, and then we move on to the next step. But the important thing here is how do we help referees get better, and that's the key to us going forward.
Let's hear what Giovanni Van Bronckhorst had to say on it. He was asked last night.
Well, it was the club's view. I didn't ask the club to do it, but I can understand. Of course, we had many incidents. We had both sides. I think it's always good for the Scottish Football Association and also the referees to review their performances. You know, not in a negative way, but you know, in a positive outcome to learn from situations that happened. That's all, and I think that was also what the club wanted.
Yeah, to be fair, Alex, he's always, well, I say always, he's not been back in management here too long, but he seems to be very calm about these things. He was calm after the game at Pittodrie, and he seemed pretty clearly there. It wasn't him that instigated a, you know, a meeting or a letter or whatever it was to the association.
As I said earlier on, as a manager, you know, you can't really change anything, Gordon. You can raise your head. I think,
but some managers would rant and rave and would complain.
Absolutely.
And
again, it goes back to the result. I think when you win games, none of this gets to the fore. Unfortunately, you know, I actually thought Giovanni handled it pretty well, because he could quite easily come out and win. That referee was poor, but then he just puts himself in trouble if you say something incorrect. And he seems pretty calm about the whole thing. I think he believes in what his players are trying to do and the process that they've already initiated in the opening 8 or 9 games that they've been in.
Is there also the other side of it, which always gets forgotten because everyone loves the drama, the controversy? He is thinking about trying to make sure that Rangers don't perform like that again in a big game, because it was obviously a disappointing night.
Listen, Gordon, I think this is like a sideshow in some ways, because ultimately Giovanni's responsible for the football team. You look at the performance on the night, it was flat. You know, I say it was a below par performance, and that will be more of a concern for Giovanni than on one or two decisions that didn't go his way. Listen, you can moan till you're blue in the face, however, trying to change that or trying to make these guys any better. But going back to one of the points, and I know we're running out of time, the VAR thing's a really interesting one, because we're led to believe that it won't be available to implement this summer.
Mm-hmm.
What would be the stumbling block to try and get this implemented?
I think, Fraser, you'd probably be able to help me out, but a number of things: recruiting an appropriate number of officials who can do it, training them, getting all the other logistical side of things ticked off. Would that be a fair enough answer?
Yeah, that's a big thing. I think the clubs are going to commit to it in the next wee while, from what I understand, and then it's training the referees to actually start to use it, and it does take some time. There's an official training course that FIFA put on, so it won't be for next year, it'll probably be for the season after, I would imagine. But when it comes in, then we'll have a bit of help. But perhaps not perfect either. Look at the situation in England. Every week you're looking at it thinking, how did they miss that, or what did they see there? You know, so it's not perfect either. But we need to just be careful. Kev Glass didn't do well on Tuesday, but not there a lot of the players. You know, so we just got to be careful when we're not vilifying referees here.
Going to be probably not the last time we'll have discussions like this. Let's park it for now, because we do have a lot of good football to look forward to this afternoon, and we will go back around the grounds next.
The team with the biggest support in Glasgow and the West. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Building up to kick-off in the big Scottish Cup ties, we've already got three teams through, and you have to say it's the favourites. Hibs might have not had it all their own way, but they did get past Cove Rangers. Then Rangers saw off Stirling Albion comfortably, as you would expect, last night. And now Hearts, which could have potentially been a banana skin going down to Auchinleck. Not today, it wasn't a comfortable victory for Robbie Nielsen's side as well. So those three are already through, and now we turn our attentions to the 3 o'clock games. Fraser Wishart, I don't know if you're in the business of looking for an omen. What did you say was the anniversary of Morton? 100 years, was it?
I think Hugh was saying it was 100 years.
Yeah, 100 years. They won the cup in 1922, Fraser. It was a day similar to today. So you never know.
See, I prefer the omen that Motherwell beat Morton en route to winning it in 1991. But then that kind of gets blown out the water by the fact that they met last season and Motherwell scraped through in penalties before going out. So that's got an interesting look about it, Fraser. I feel like a few weeks ago, you would be certain of a Motherwell win, but just that couple of results under Dougie Emery, he's got a decent record at Fir Park from his Hamilton Accies days. So you just wonder what impact that'll make.
Yeah, and I'm sure he'll wind up the people in the stand behind the dugout as well. He's one of those characters that everybody likes to have a go at, and he loves it. He thrives off it. Dougie as a player, he did, and he's just got that bounce that the new manager sometimes gets. And he's got some experienced players. I said earlier, you know, like Brian McLean, who played here for Motherwell's at Rangers, many teams, very experienced at the back. Alan Lithgow, who was part of the Livingston team that climbed through the ranks, and so they've got some experienced players in key positions. I think the interesting thing will be at the back, have they got the pace to deal with? That's maybe why Van Veen's not playing, is because Graham Alexander fancies the pace of his front three to cause them real problems. But it's a trickier game, and I think Motherwell would really soar from their defeat the other night. That was a poor result against 10 men to lose a couple of goals late on as well. So yeah, I think it's a tough one for Motherwell, a tougher one for Motherwell than when it was a draw. But I do expect them to get through. I think they've got enough to win this game. I think just by the odd goal, I think Morton will come here and play well.
We are very knee-jerk here, Gabriel, when it comes to our football. We sort of change our opinions from one week to the next, and I wonder if St Mirren's result during the week all of a sudden takes some of the fear away from this fixture. For instance, had this fixture taken place last weekend, would the St Mirren fans be feeling a bit more nervous about it?
Yeah, I think they certainly would be, but they sound very confident. There's 2,000 St Mirren fans here at Somerset Park, and they are in fine voice before kickoff. Jim Goodwin was confident when we spoke to him through the week. St Mirren were brilliant in cups last season. Let's not forget they reached the semi-final of both competitions, but they'll hope to go at least one step further this campaign, and it all starts in the Scottish Cup here today. Lee Bullen will be hoping to cause a shock. That these two sides haven't met in 5 years. The last game in 2017 was a 6-2 cracker. St Mirren fans will be hoping for a repeat of that, whilst Ayr are hoping to cause the shock of the day. Kickoff is just in 10 minutes' time.
Yeah, looking forward to that one as well. Ayr United against St Mirren. Good record down there in the Cups and under your stewardship, of course, Gordon.
That's where my shot's coming. The boys were asking me. I'm looking. I think.
Wait a minute, you said
Darvel
a second ago.
No, I was kidding. No, I'm going for Ayr United. I take on board everything about St Mirren's terrific win midweek, but Somerset, 2,000 plus Ayr fans. There'll be a decent atmosphere in there. Mm. I think the Ayr players can rise to that, Gordon, and make it a difficult afternoon for Jim Goodwin.
It's funny how you fall into the trap, David Friel, of going on reputation, and lots of people maybe looking at the game at Rugby Park and think, would that really be a shock anyway? You know, it's Kilmarnock, Dundee United. There's not a million miles between the sides. United on a poor run. That's where the cup can be a problem for you, can't it? I mean, if you're Tam Courts and you're already on a poor league run, it just adds the pressure in a cup tie that you know could very conceivably lose, and then the season takes on a whole different complexion.
It does, Gordon. It's weird. I've actually lost count of the amount of players and managers this week who are on bad runs, saying, "Oh, you know, maybe a cup run could lift us." But you're right. If this goes wrong for Dundee United today, the pressure's on them, and you know the fans. As I said, you know the scenes behind the goal where United are warming up. I mean, there are almost 2,000 fans here, and they will not be happy if this goes bad. But I'm just looking at the Kilmarnock team. You know, I've been impressed with Derek McKinnon since he first came in. You know, added to the spine of his team, Ash Taylor, Dylan Tate, good player. Daniel McIverhouse and now Kyle Lafferty. But you just look at the subs bench for Kilmarnock today. Liam Polworth, Chris Burke, Lafferty, Stephen McGinn, Callum Waters, Lee Hodgson, all guys that have played in the Premiership. This is a tough one for Dundee United, and I genuinely would not be surprised if Kilmarnock won this.
Yeah, that's going to be another fascinating one. I say it for every fixture, but because I mean it, I think they all look brilliant. We've got a great fixture card this afternoon, you have to say. Dave Galloway, of all the teams that we're mentioning, I feel like there's always a real fascination about when Aberdeen add a Scottish Cup again. Is that still the case up there, and Stephen Glass now taking on that challenge?
Yeah, very much so, Gordon. And Stephen Glass actually touched on that when we interviewed him in his pre-match media conference. He said, you know, every year there's this discussion, and it's one more year since Aberdeen have won it. One more year, one more year. He's obviously optimistic that they can have a lengthy run in this competition. And yeah, it would be a huge weight off a lot of shoulders, for sure. Obviously, classic Goliath versus David territory, this one, isn't it? Surely you would think all about how Aberdeen's mindset is. If it's as it should be, if it's as it was against Rangers on Tuesday, you would expect a comfortable victory. But, you know, a free hit for the capital team, isn't it? No pressure or expectation at all on their shoulders. They'll look to enjoy the occasion and, you know, maybe see if the home support will get restless if it stays goalless for a while and possibly nick the first goal. That would certainly make things interesting.
Let's hear from Stephen Glass.
We talked about it right after the game the other night. They just walked in off the pitch, playing in a big atmosphere where it feels like there's a huge game at stake. And the atmosphere might not be quite the same on Saturday, but they have to create that in their minds. They have to play like that. They have to approach the game exactly the same way, because it's massively important for the club to make sure we're in the next round. Edinburgh City will come up here, won't make it easy for us, and they'll come and try and win. I'm sure they will. I know Gary Naismith from a long time, and I know what he's like as a person, and I know he'll have his team well driven, and he'll see an opportunity.
And Dave, Aberdeen will be buoyed by the performance against Rangers the other night. We did see it. Inevitably there's a sideshow, and lots of people are talking about other aspects, but it was a good Aberdeen performance.
It certainly was. You know, they got written about Rangers by many people's opinions. They were the better side, perhaps a shade unfortunate not to win the match. But that has been an issue for Aberdeen over the years, hasn't it? They lift their game against the likes of Rangers, or perhaps especially Rangers, and to a lesser extent Celtic. And then when it comes to playing so-called lesser teams, they don't seem so up for it. So, you know, they're going to have to put that particular one to bed this afternoon, you would think.
Yes, looking forward to Aberdeen against Edinburgh City and all the other ties. Those are our featured matches this afternoon. I feel like honourable mention just has to go to the Bankies in that featured list. Hugh Keevans as well. Gordon DL and I, we were travelling in. We saw Gordon Moffat. Was he dropping one of his mates off at the pub or something?
He certainly was, yes, before he went over to the...
He was pulled over at the local watering hole. He had the suit on. You could clock the private Reggie from a distance. I said, that must be the Clydebank manager.
The Lovett Arms. In, other pubs are available, but the Lovett Arms is the one across the road from me.
I think I can sense the atmosphere from just along the road. One game I don't think we mentioned earlier on, and actually I would have to quickly calculate this in terms of gaps between the sides. There probably isn't one bigger. Well, Auchinleck's now out the way, but Banks of D Wraith, which was fine, we did mention that. But Arbroath Darvel would have to be there as well. You forget, because you forget how high Arbroath are sitting at the moment, but they are top of the Championship. Darvel playing in the West of Scotland League in the Scottish Cup for the first time ever. That's going to be an interesting
one. Campbell won't want that. He is desperate to take Arbroath into the Premiership and stun the whole country. And he doesn't want that kind of result to get in the way and cause a massive distraction and sideshow. So I would put the deeds to Keevan's Towers on Arbroath.
The finances, though, that have went into Darvel, and that seems to be the thing.
Mrs. Keevan's has just fallen off the armchair.
She's packing up as we speak. But I wouldn't write Darvel off. You know, they've been an ongoing story for the last couple of years. I think did they beat Breakin? I think so, in the last round.
Everybody,
so they've already
Breakin,
took a bit of a scalp.
Penalties.
So I tell you what, it'll not be that easy for Arbroath this afternoon.
3-0, Arbroath.
Quite right, Alec.
Yes, it's a great fixture card again, like we mentioned. Banks of Dee, Raith Rovers, what a gap there is between the sides there as well. No,
East Kilbride would be an interesting one. You know,
Peterhead. Peterhead.
Yeah. I'd like to see them get through that one. I'm not sure they can, but I would like to see it.
Yeah, they're confident. I spoke to one of the guys from East Kilbride the other day.
The Keane brothers?
Ian, the shopping centre. I don't like to give out names in the radio, but they were very confident. They're travelling up there with a bit of confidence.
He's tight with the East Kilbride kit, man. He's told me this before.
I know they're in Peterhead, so I'm going to say that Peterhead will win that one.
And tell you what, Hugh, a cracking local game for us. Partick Thistle, Airdrie. Yeah. Airdrie are flying. Partick Thistle are having a perfectly good time of it as well. Yeah. That's a fascinating one.
Yeah, that could go either way. But I do fancy Partick Thistle. You'll love this, Daz. Last night I had to tell Kenny Miller what happened when I read the match report of last week's Airdrie game against Falkirk. Kenny apparently came out to remonstrate with the fourth official, and a small child, no more than 5 years old, shouted, "Sit down, Baldy."
And why would I love that?
Because
you're looking at the back of my head.
No, because you like insulting people, I think was where he was going.
I must say, Kenny Miller took it all with good grace last night.
To be fair, Robert, if he's going to pick somebody in here, it wouldn't be you, would it?
Yeah, it'd have been probably Alec, yeah.
I gave a wee trim this morning. 2 minutes.
I was thinking that. No, it's like, is that the old Mac 3? Polish.
No,
that looks.
It's just the clippers. Bish, bash, bosh.
That
two
looks
minutes.
Fresh. It does look fresh. Not
a Brandon Barker.
Oh, what about his thatch last night? Who's added that for him?
I think he's spectacular. I personally think he has to go to Turkey. He needs to go to Turkey to get the old dome done, doesn't he?
Anyway, enough about that. We've got some fantastic Scottish Cup fixtures, and they are coming up next.
The winning team all season long. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Getting underway in the cup ties, the 3 o'clock kickoffs. Remember, Hearts are already through, joining Hibs and Rangers from previous evenings. Celtic to come later tonight as well at Alloa. But the 3 o'clock games are getting underway, and we are strapping ourselves in for a lovely afternoon of cup action. Hugh Keevans, Alex Ray, Gordon DL, and Mark Wilson are in the studio. Right, we cannot do full ACCAs because we will be here all day. So quickly on our four featured games, which is Pittodrie, Rugby Park, Somerset, Fir Park. Go, we'll just do featured matches.
Okay, St Mirren will beat Ayr, Motherwell will beat Morton, Killy will beat Mole Club Dundee United, Aberdeen will win easy against Edinburgh City.
I'll go next. I'll go home win for Ayr, Motherwell, Dundee United and Aberdeen.
Alex,
I'm going to go for St Mirren, Motherwell to beat Morton, Kilmarnock to beat Dundee United, Aberdeen to beat Edinburgh, and I'm going for Celtic to beat Alloa.
Hugh,
going for St Mirren to beat Ayr, Motherwell will win at home to Morton, Kilmarnock will knock out Dundee United, and Aberdeen will beat Edinburgh City with plenty to spare.
So is that your shock, Kilmarnock?
Yes.
You've got one pick each for a shock. Hugh's going Kilmarnock. If that counts.
Yeah, I'm going to go for
Kelty.
To beat St Johnson.
I am, yeah.
Gordon, well, you've given us
Yeah.
Mark.
Yeah, I went Kelly, but I don't think that's a big shock. I'm going to agree with Alex. Kelty.
Goal flashes. With AspireGlasgow.com, book your face fit and mask service online now.
Well, Ayr have had an early chance, dragged wide by Maxwell. Still goalless. What do you mean, there you go?
they're on the front foot.
Because they've dragged the shot wide inside the first minute.
That's confidence, big crowd there, on the front foot. Better.
Okay, no goals yet to tell you about, just that shot dragged wide. We do actually have a couple of league games, Dunfermline and Inverness in the Championship, a couple in League One as well. Kenny Miller, who was on last night, his Falkirk side go to East Fife, Clyde Queen's Park, and Cowdenbeath Stranraer in League Two. So here's what you've got for the rest of the afternoon. We're going to keep you up to speed on everything that happens in the Scottish Cup. I'm about to give you a first half teaser. We will look back on the game at Ibrox last night, Alex Lowry, amongst other things. We'll look at that game. We'll give you Celtic team news when we can. We'll build up to that, and of course the open line later as well. There is so much to get through, so do not go anywhere. Open line later, but before then, at Clyde SSB if you want to stay in touch this afternoon. We ask a lot of you on a Saturday afternoon because we like to interact and see what you've got for us, whether it's any Scottish Cup anecdotes or anything else. But the first way that you can get in touch is by doing this, Hugh Keevans.
Yep.
The first half teaser.
With the ScottishSun.co.uk/football for the best football news and opinion online.
Just you hold that thought, because I think we've got one already.
Oh, wow.
Goal flashes with AspireGlasgow.com.
You all thought Kilmarnock could maybe cause an upset, and let me tell you, they are 1-0 down to Dundee United. It's Mark McNulty. He's been out for 117 days. What a way to announce your return. Ball over the top, poked it in off the post, and it's Kilmarnock 0 Dundee United 1.
Great start.
Yes. How much do you need that as well? Because like we said before, they're in a terrible league run. Yes. You're going to a game that's absolutely losable. You know, the longer that goes on, that's when the doubt starts to creep in, doesn't it?
Big day for Tam Courts, you've got to say, because after an impressive start in the league, certainly tailed off. But that will settle the nerves. It's still a long way to go, of course. Derek McInnes will be fuming, because he would have seen it as a real opportunity to get another good result.
Yeah, you don't want to lose an early goal. All the boys, and I can understand, they went for the home win. I went for Dundee United. I think they'll get back on track.
You're the
today.
One that always says, if we're going to lose a goal, lose it early.
Yeah, but I also said before the kickoff that Dundee United would put Kilmarnock out.
He's got something about this fixture. He was banging on to me in the way in that, well, I can't actually use the expression that he used, but that it would be a comfortable afternoon for Dundee United. So there we go.
I just fancy them today.
I just think 1-11 is really poor form getting into this.
Really is. Hugh, we were about to do this.
Yep. Now, I know why I'm speaking to the most football educated audience available, but for anybody who doesn't know, a brace means two goals. A player scored a brace, two goals. So, since season 2001-2002, eight players have scored a brace in a Scottish Cup final. Who are they? Since season 2001-2002, eight players have scored a brace in a Scottish Cup final. Name them.
Don't Google that one. Too easy if you Google it. Let's see what you can come up with. At Clyde SSB, you need to go on Twitter, send us a tweet at Clyde SSB with all eight correct answers on it. And you need to do it first. You need to be the fastest. So that's the aim of the game on the first half teaser. Get your answers in, please. I think even you lot in here, I think you'll get
seven.
You'll make a good dent in it, yeah. I think.
We're already started.
I can. Do you know what? Actually, I feel guilty this afternoon, because for the first time ever, possibly, I was making no considerable effort, no real argument for us to put the Motherwell game on in the studio. I was not. This is the first time. I was happy to go with whatever, and somehow we've settled on Motherwell Morton without any real input from me. And you lot are all going to pretend that that's not the case, and I was a diva and kicked up, and made it go. Because
you
it's pulled, simply
you pulled
not
rank,
true.
Not
true.
Rank. There's
well,
so much more interesting
control
games
in your hand at the time.
well,
I think it was a remote control, but you were flicking about.
Something in his hand.
I heard that the former Dundee United fullback went off on a strop like Cristiano Ronaldo when he subbed.
overruled
Kelly,
him.
Kelly United.
Someone overruled him on account of the plastic pitch. Was what we heard.
That's what we heard. Yeah.
You can't be watching games on plastic pitches.
That's what we heard. So anyway, listen, we've got eyewitnesses everywhere.
We've missed the only goal so far. We could have been watching that game.
We've got eyewitnesses everywhere, so we'll be across it all as Morton have a run down the right hand side. It's halted. We've got a goal. Oh, I like this.
Goal flashes with AspireGlasgow.com.
The other shout for the shock was Ayr United.
They're getting beat. Yeah,
they're getting beat. St Mirren. Kyle McAllister doesn't score many back post headers, does he, Kyle McAllister? But he's got one this afternoon in at the back post, and St Mirren lead Ayr by a goal to nil.
Ironic that St Mirren get a great lift by beating Dundee United in midweek. And you think, Dundee United. Managers have always told me down through the years, you can't switch form on and off like a light switch. But United have managed it so far.
Yeah, if you're going to score a goal, Daz.
If you're going to lose one, I always say to the players, get it over and done with in the first five, and then it gives us 85 plus added on to get back in the game. Still a long way to go in these cup ties.
It's just what you're looking for, Alex, isn't it? It lifts the pressure. We are watching Motherwell Morton. I don't know if it's because it was in front of empty stands or not. I just feel like there was a bit of a forgotten element about that. Could any of you told me that, that Motherwell beat Morton on penalties in the cup last season?
No, I would
suspect not. But yeah, that was the reality of it. Morton weren't a great side last season either, and went there and it was just one of those games. So if you get that early goal, it changes things.
Certainly does. Just settles the players down, and it can become increasingly frustrating for the home fans if you see a team who are a division above you, at the bottom of that division, holding out, and start to get restless. So it's pretty even. You've got to say the first 7 minutes of this, Morton, it's not as if they're defending their 18 yard box. They're having a good go. They had a long throw into the box a minute ago, which is always a useful weapon when you play a team
started,
above you.
I think they've started very well, man. Mm-hmm. I've got to say, they look positive, they look confident. The two results under the new manager, I think, certainly helped, of course. The pitch is brilliant.
Beautiful.
I remember going there in the Scottish Cup, and one of the best games I ever managed, we ended up, we beat Motherwell 4-3, and I'm telling you, and even Motherwell fans to this day still say to me, what a fantastic game that is.
This never happens, does it? Not once, not a single time has that ever happened.
I did that wee bit on. I thought it sounded good in the story, but
is there any footage of you as a manager? I can't imagine
hold on now, and go to Scottish Cup final, League Cup final, go to
I'm going to dig into promotion.
Go to that game. I'm telling you, anybody will tell you, 4-3, it was the best game of Scottish Cup game I've ever.
Was it Betamax? Were you a
suited manager? Or a track suit?
I was always suited. I was always very smart.
Is that straight out?
I bet you were suited with a Big Air United club jacket.
No, I wasn't.
But you were one of those guys.
I was always shooty,
100%.
Because I always took the tie off and went out after. I was always
straight out of the
tent. Taxi waiting outside.
Honestly, unbelievable. Mark.
I was there that day.
Mark. Were you?
Yeah, I was.
Were you the ball boy?
No, not quite.
I'll tell you something right now. The Motherwell team.
Yes, do you want me to read it to you? Andy Goran and goals.
Yeah, wait, when you'll hear this Motherwell start, team.
Well, I'll just name a couple of highlights, will we?
Brian Martin there.
Steve McMillan, remember him? He was a good left back.
Yeah.
Jed Brannan.
Yeah. Right, hold on. You painted this team to be like.
Hold on.
Simo Vallecari, Finnish international.
Yeah.
Kevin Twaddle, Don Goodman, Lee McCulloch.
Big Don was great.
Off the bench, Pat Nevin.
Was John Spencer on that team?
Nah.
Pat Nevin must have been about 45 at
that
stage.
You played them twice, did you not?
Played them twice, beat them twice at Fir Park.
Yeah.
100% record. That's why the Motherwell fans don't want me back there.
Mark.
Yes.
When he was our manager, could have moaned for Britain.
Now don't listen to him, Mark.
I can imagine.
Yeah, I was very humble. Very humble. I was Tim McGraw. I was very humble.
I thought you said you were suited.
Was it not suited?
Seen a picture. Look at this. He's got one of those. You know, those 90s. He's got his jumper. He's got his jumper tucked into his tracksuit bottoms. Look at that.
You know what? That's how I managed him. I imagined him Google as a manager. An absolute glorified PE teacher with initials on his top.
That's what he is.
That's one of those proper sweatshirts. You've got the initials on it, tucked into your joggies. Initials on the joggies and the jumper.
Oh, ho.
I'm the teacher.
Who's your assistant?
Did you not love him?
That's a doc. That's a club doctor.
He's wearing a silver and black, like,
that can't
puffer
be
jacket.
Club doctor.
That's a club. I swear,
I'm not taking any
Dr.
treatment
Hannah.
Off him if he's wearing a puffer jacket like
was,
that.
In the dugout.
That was Doc Hannah. He was brilliant.
I've never seen a puffer jacket in the dugout. I must say, that's a first.
He was great. Bill Barr, never. My chairman. Everybody was in the dugouts. Let me tell you, we were a team. We were united together. And that's why we were successful.
Best chance so far for Motherwell Gordon down the right hand side.
Look at that one.
Yes, Peterhead nil, East Kilbride 1. João Pereira Vitória putting East Kilbride, the Lowland League side, in front. It was a chance for Motherwell. Connor Shields flashes one across. Was that tipped away?
Yeah, it was a tremendous save.
Oh no. Oh, it gets worse. David Field has sent me a picture of you in your suit, and I thought, well, that'll be better then. That'll be smarter.
Is the jacket tucked in?
Seriously, it's not
got
quite.
The jumper tucked in.
What kind of suit is it? It's a Versace.
Me, Mark Wilson, and Alex Ray would fit inside those trouser legs. Seriously. Oh my goodness! Look how baggy they are.
That's an Ibrox. Is it Ibrox or Hamden?
It certainly looks like one of them. Look how baggy those suit trousers are.
But that was the style.
Do you know what? Shoes are immaculate.
Which kind of black your hair?
To be fair to you, that probably is a sign of the times, but I'm glad we've moved on. How baggy are they?
Oh, they're coming back.
He was going through his Spandau Ballet phase at the time.
Yeah, listen,
double breasted dance. Nice little double breasted.
Not a single breasted. Everybody had to go through the style, the fashion. I was very well.
The first picture, Gordon, is just how I imagined you every day.
The Dazzler had hair like Yota at
Celtic. You're right, and looked like him. The only thing that was missing that first like one him. Is the stopwatch and the whistle on it. Should have had that one.
Do you know what? Who was the guy for Kez? Remember the. You remember, Shue?
Yeah, I'm not going to be able to provide the details. But Ryan,
I looked like Ted Laszlo there.
Lasso. Is that Shabba Laszlo's brother?
Well, whatever his name is.
Now, do you know what I liked from the 90s? And I thought that's what you had on there, but it's not quite. What did you call him? Was it a drill top or something? It was a sort of weird canvas material.
Yes,
do you remember that? So it had like the collar.
I
can see you still wearing one of them.
I've actually got a couple of them in the house.
They would usually be like Umbro or something. They would have a wee bit of elastic across the neck, the collar.
I've got one in the house.
The brand on the back.
I'm wearing one next Saturday.
You bring it in next week. I quite liked them as a kid. I thought they were good.
I'll find one of them.
That's made my day. Brilliant. Get that tweeted.
I tell you what though, Hugh, if we're looking for a shock, Peter Head getting beat off East Kilbride, well, league side.
Jimmy McInally will be incandescent with rage if that finishes up the score. But as Daz always says, long way to go. So they'll get 80 minutes to get it right. But that would be a stunner.
Hugh, the boy that scores. Vittoria. I mean, remember a couple of years ago.
Airdrie.
He went. Yeah, Airdrie. He was at Airdrie. Yeah,
left-sided player.
Yeah, yeah. And very I tried to sign him, but he was. I think he went off the boil. He went maybe Stenhousemuir or something like that, and he disappeared. Right. And now he's at East Kilbride. But what a goal scorer he was
a good
in that
talent,
division,
Matt, didn't he? A good talent. I remember watching him training. He was excellent talent. You're right. He disappeared.
So that is certainly on track to be a bit of a shock. East Kilbride beating Peterhead. Other than that, the games that have goals are going as you would perhaps expect based on league standing. St Mirren 1-0 up against Ayr, Kyle McAllister. Dundee United 1 up on Kilmarnock, Mark McNulty. And not much else at the moment. Don't forget your full time teaser is up and running. So get your attempts in, please. I suppose we could do the first set of wrong answers here. Hugh, couldn't we give us the question?
Yep. A brace involves a brace. Since season 2001-2002, 8 players have scored the brace in a Scottish Cup final. Who are they?
Okay, the wrong answers, if we've got any, because lots of you are doing well. FM Dafty says Kenny Miller, friend of the show.
No, Kenny's not there. Sit down, Baldy.
He's also gone for Georgios Samaras.
No, Sammy not there.
Okay, let's go through the rest. I can see some very good attempts here. Bobcat, I don't know if this is wishful thinking for his gaffer. Giovanni Van Bronckhorst.
No.
Claudio Caniggia.
No.
He's put McGinn. I don't know which one, but it doesn't matter, does it?
No, because they are not Paul, not Stephen, not John.
Okay, keep your guesses coming in. At Clyde SSB, who is exhaling and why?
No,
another good save.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The modern goalkeeper, I think it was a shot from the edge of the box, through bodies. He managed to get a strong hand and palm it away.
Yeah, it's a good hit.
He's a late.
Yeah. Very good save, that. Yeah. Barry Maguire from the edge of the box.
Do we know who the goalkeeper is for Morton?
Jack Hamilton.
Stop it.
It is Jack Hamilton.
There's no way he's made 2 worldies. It's impossible.
Very harsh.
Very awful.
But
very,
true.
Very harsh.
Well, it's coming. The mistake's coming.
Well, he's been good so far.
To be
15
fair, he's
minutes
made
in, yeah.
Some decent saves there.
I mean, Livy 0, Ross County 0. That's the all top flight clash, the only one.
I think in the Scottish Cup, at this stage, you're absolutely devastated when you get a team from
the league.
I remember. I went into Airdrie with you. Scottish Cup came around, and I was thinking, brilliant. Here we go.
Get me back to Celtic Park. Yeah. I'll get a hero's welcome.
I'll be magnificent. We got Livingston, who were above us in the table, and they came
in League One.
In League One, and beat us and put us out. And
did you hear that
was the end of that.
Oh, hold on. Do you know what? I think we went.
You did.
Is that not the game? Because it must have been the winter. Were we off that Saturday? And a lot of the people who worked here decided to come along and watch that.
Gordon, can I ask you a serious question? Did your man go?
Speaking of the old Premiership tie, goal flashes with AspireGlasgow.com. Livy 1, Ross County 0. Ayo Obalai with the penalty in the 16th minute. So Livy won up on Ross County. Both got good wins during the week though.
Yeah, exactly. Malky Mackay mystified. You know, what a result he got with 10 men against Motherwell. So how do you get things right in this game? Is it any wonder my predictions are ranked wrong?
To be fair, Livy won during the week as well. So I think that is...
I think Ross County will be okay. I think they've got enough firepower top end of the pitch. Yeah, they're not bad enough to go with you.
Mac has sent me this in, and I actually did clock it earlier on. I read it out to Gordon on the way in. So Airdrie, speaking of your former club, both of you, they tweeted best wishes to midfielder Adam Frizzell, who turns 24 today. Leave your birthday messages for Adam Frizzell here at Facebook. And he has quote tweeted it, and he says, I really appreciate the birthday wishes, but it's not till next month.
Oh dear, a lot of birthday wishes.
Yeah. What chance have you got? Surely someone somewhere has this guy's date of birth. If
I can't
he plays
believe
for
he's
him.
Only 24. He seems like he's been about for a long, long time.
As the caller says to me, all the best when it comes.
That's the worst one. That's the worst one. Been about the new year period. Well, birthday period.
If you think he's been about long, when you said to me you're only 37 today, I was like, you've got to be young.
I don't know. Is that a compliment?
Oh,
or
no, Hugh Keevans. Goal flashes with AspireGlasgow.com. Clydebank 0, Lannan 1, Owen Moxon in the 9th minute. Well, just have to do it the hard way.
Well, I had my fears, but the Bankies will come back. Gary McMenamin, who's the assistant manager of the Bankies, his brother, Colin, is the assistant manager at Annan. So
that's right, yeah.
Brotherly love, no more.
Yeah, out the window this afternoon. Still Morton holding on there, doing well. A 0-0 at Fir Park at the moment. That Annan goal was the latest one to tell you about, with a full time teaser up and running. Ooh, how's about this? Some for goals. Drama. Goal flashes with AspireGlasgow.com. Remember, you all thought that Kilmarnock could cause the upset?
Yes.
2-0.
No, they've equalised. Rory McKenzie, a low finish. First shot was saved. On the rebound, Kelly 1, Dundee United 1. Game on.
Oh, love it.
Good game. I'm glad we chose to watch this game on the TV rather than that.
Yeah.
But it's a lively encounter. Always thought it was, I didn't think it was ever going to be a big shock if Kelly managed to beat Dundee United. I think that new manager bounce, as everybody says, but, you know, they just look livelier now. It was always going to be a tough game for United.
Who looks lively?
Huh?
Who looks
They just
lively?
Look livelier now. Kelly
Kilmarnock since he came in.
See if you are
I watched
looking...
them against Partick. I didn't think they looked lively, to be honest with you.
If you are looking for an example of how to go about a professional job when you're the favourite, you look no further than Hearts today, do you? 5-0 at Auchinleck.
Yeah, yeah, comprehensive.
They were always favourites, don't get me wrong, but did anyone see it being that straightforward?
Actually, just because of the quality that they have, I always felt as if it would be pretty straightforward. I don't think they're doing as well as they have been at Auchinleck. So for me, I thought it was... I was with Lee McCulloch the other day. He came back and donated a masterclass ball for his Gordon. One of the top drawer
so you
SPFL
you
balls.
Old has-beens at the fives are now playing with the top.
Yes, and listen,
kit.
We're
Where
taking,
you get it from?
We're actually taking on last year's Cash for Kids, Tam, the boy bid for us. So we're taking him on Tuesday. Goal flashes
with AspireGlasgow.com. Aberdeen 1, Edinburgh City 0. Hedges was the first to the loose ball to score from a few yards, and that means again another one of the sides, the so-called favourites in front. Aberdeen the latest.
Well, it's you're talking about an Edinburgh City side who are seventh in the bottom tier of Scottish football, 19 points off the top of the league. So anything other than a comprehensive Aberdeen win is unacceptable.
I was going to say that it was a good tie for Aberdeen, yeah. Similar to Rangers last night. After that midweek game, you know, plenty of energy went into that. I think the two of them would have been happy to face Edinburgh and Stirling. What about that one for East Fife? As if things aren't bad enough for them at the bottom of the league against Falkirk. They've got a player sent off in 16 minutes.
Since we're talking about Hearts, who did well, like we said, grudgingly, we'll acknowledge that Halliday opened the scoring today. Yes. Was it the third, I think, he set up? Liam Boyce got a couple. Cochrane got in on the act later on as well. One of Liam Boyce's was a penalty. Did Mullow have a, was that a penalty claim? Or just
to be honest with you, I think, well, he was always stretching.
To be fair, Shields never even complained about it. So it tells you that it was not a penalty.
Unless he's just a really nice guy who just doesn't like complaining.
Well, I'm going to give the referee a bit of credit.
There's a shot.
Well done, ref.
Gordon, so you can back to Hearts. When you listen to Robbie Nielsen, he speaks quite often about obviously trying to get third place, get European spot, but silverware, he constantly mentions it in these press conferences. They will be aspiring to try and win this this cup.
Speaking of which, Robbie Nielsen has revealed after the game Hearts have rejected a bid from Rangers.
How
for
much?
John Souter. £300,000 is the alleged figure. He says he's got an ankle injury though. That's why he didn't play today. I know everyone will be looking more into it after what's happened, but that's the truth. He'll be in the squad for Wednesday until something changes. We've had a bid in, but that's been knocked out of the ballpark. We value John very, very highly, and until that valuation is met, he will be a Hearts player. We're chasing a run in the cup and European football.
I think that's the chance in your arm bid. You throw that in, see if they'll swallow it. But the want of the play against Celtic on Wednesday, after all, he scored the winning goal the last time Celtic were at Tynecastle, and they'd want, I think, to keep him for the Hibs game. But that's the ball started rolling now. Clearly Rangers want him there before the 1st of February, and want him in the team against Celtic on the 2nd of February. But the ball has started rolling, but that figure was never going to get him.
I read an article this morning, Gordon, says that they value him around about 500,000, the 300. So you're kind of
400
me in the middle.
Sold. So, but I think most certainly before the end of the window he will be at Ibrox.
Has Motherwell been forced into substitution here, or did I just see something wrong?
I mean, there's every chance.
After 20 odd minutes,
it's not one that I've noticed.
I thought I seen someone on the dugout getting the shin pads ready, Gordon. Maybe,
I don't know,
I could be wrong.
Hold on, got one of these. Goal flashes with AspireGlasgow.com. Easy street for St Mirren. Ayr United 0, St Mirren 2. Greg Kilty with the second after Kyle McAllister's first. Ronan slides him in, opens up with the left foot, neat finish. And they do lead by 2-0 at Somerset.
Is that old tracksuit hanging about there, and I'll nip down to Somerset and sort this out?
I think it's in a charity shop next to Mark Wilson's.
Yeah. Well, give me the suit and I'll fly down.
Oh. Nice start for Jim Goodwin though, after the winter break, you know, Tannadice, and then that on paper. We looked at it, we thought it could be tricky. Easy stuff.
We were talking earlier about
Partick Thistle 1, Airdrie 0, Brian Graham.
We're talking earlier about Hearts and that being a good professional job at Auchinleck. Well, what St Mirren are doing against a team from a lower division is removing all semblance of doubt, if they can, by half time. And that's a good professional job so far.
Absolutely. So on John Souter, Alex, you think that's it now, heading in that direction, that's the way it ends?
Well, Rangers have shown their hand, Gordon. They want him in the door in January. You know, I think the initial reaction for Van Bronckhorst was, we've signed him a pre-contract this summer. Now they've moved the goalposts. It looks as if they're trying to get him in the door. I said a couple of weeks ago, Gordon, for me, if they could get some money for Simpson, it's like for like, you just pay Hearts what they're looking for, and then for me, you improve your squad.
I don't think there's any doubt about the door before the end of the transfer window, Alec. Especially if Rangers have won in at 300, Hearts are looking around the fire. It's not going to take a lot to get a balance there for, and both clubs be happy. So I agree with you. I think looking at the next two games for Hearts, an important player for them, but I think he'll be a Rangers player by the end of the
window. Or he plays against Celtic, Gordon, and you know, can you imagine playing against Celtic, scoring the winning goal against Celtic again, and then going to Rangers the following day? He'd arrive as the conquering hero.
But if a bid's going in, I mean, I assume Rangers are trying to do it before then. Had that bid been accepted, then he certainly wouldn't play against.
I think the
Celtic
reception he got against St Johnson when the Hearts fans turned on him, that's not a long term solution to anything. The short term solution is to get him off the premises, but I think Hearts will want them to play against Celtic.
Rangers didn't need him last night. A 4-0 victory against Stirling Albion, Alex. A very comfortable and possibly predictable, with no disrespect, outcome. How did you view the game?
It was fairly comfortable, Gordon. You know, they managed to get a couple of goals in, within 6 minutes. It was really nice to see the boy Lowry. I haven't seen a great deal of him. Looks very good technically. He's a little give and go for the goal. He showed a lot of composure. So for me, that would have been the bright spot. I think Sakala coming back on, because there's potential Morelos is going to be away with Colombia. You've got Cedric Itten. Cedric Itten back on the goal sheet as well. So you're just trying to get these guys up to speed. Kemar Roof managed to get, 30 minutes or so. So I think there was a lot of positives. Another clean sheet. It was fairly routine.
Is it one of those I'm not going to say no win situations, because you can, you can get high points. Lowry being one of them, and guys like you mentioned, because of the golf, you can win 4-0 without being brilliant.
Absolutely.
Was it one of them? Is that fair?
Yeah, I think they were efficient, Gordon. You know, they went through fairly easy. You know, there was a couple of fringe players. You know, you get an opportunity to see Brandon Barker. I'd never seen that one coming. For me, I felt as if he was out in Siberia.
The hair or the performance?
Well, listen, I can't talk about hair with a dome like this. But you know, I think you look at Brandon Barker, you know, you look at Bakuna get another chance to showcase. For me, he wasn't great on the night.
Is that a worry?
No, I actually thought Barker was really poor.
Yeah, I was going to say, on those, who were the fringe players that took their chance, and who were the ones that didn't?
Well, listen, you look at the Simpson playing left back. I don't see him anywhere near the left back berth. You know, he's a centre half, and you know, he obviously kind of cantered through it. But I thought Buchanan was relatively poor. I thought Brandon Barker was poor. As I said, I thought the Cedric Itting got the goal without really, you know, shining, Gordon. So I think there's still more to come from him as well. But as a striker, Daz will tell you, you just want to go on the score sheet. I actually think Sir Callum showed glimpses what he can do. You know, he's got so much pace, and I think that resulted in the fourth goal.
Have you seen that fact doing the rounds on Twitter that, including friendlies, of course, the only teams that Cedric Eaton scored against this season?
This season. All right, okay.
Real Madrid,
Bayern.
Bayern Munich.
That's right.
Arsenal, Frankfurt, and Stirling Albion.
And he'll remember the Stirling Albion one.
Arbroath 1, Darvel 0. Jack Hamilton with the goal there on 28 minutes. I think clearly Alex Lowry took the headlines. Yeah. Young man making his debut, scores not long after replacing Yanis Hadji. Here's what the manager made of him.
Well, he's very talented. You know, he's been training for us for some time now, and especially today. It's good for me to give also the youngsters a chance if possible. And of course, with the injury of Hadji, I could bring him earlier than I expected, because I was planning to put him in the team in the second half. But he did really well. I think you can see his quality, the way he plays football is very intelligent, and of course the goal he scored, you know, it was really good. So I'm happy for him that he made his debut, and you know, we're here to develop him further and to give him the chance to become a better player each day. You could see he's not afraid to take people on with his dribbles. He has a very good view around him. He knows his surroundings. He scans the game, you know, a lot. So and he's technically he's good. So that gives him all the ability to be the player he is now.
I mean, Alex, the level of opposition is what makes it harder to impact games. But what that doesn't really do is change your technique, your technical ability, the way you move, the way you receive the ball. So I think all of those things are what's impressed the Rangers fans. I don't think anyone's pretending that Stirling Albion's the biggest test he will face.
Yeah.
But there was a lot to like, wasn't there?
Yeah, without doubt. I think that's what the thing that catches your eye. You look at their technical ability, Gordon. He was very comfortable with the ball. It was a bit like Hatate. You know, we'd have done the first 15 minutes or so, 10 minutes of the Celtic game, and the first couple of actions that he did, you can see that they're technically very good. So that's one of the things. And then obviously Young King, I was just saying to Daz there that, you know, Young King came in at centre half, just signed a new contract. He looks as if he's got a bright future as well.
You like to look of him, Gordon. I think we're going back a couple of months now, but Andy Halliday told us on the show he had done some work with the Rangers Academy and said if he was to pick one who he felt was the biggest prospect in the academy, it was Leon King.
Yeah, it's very easy to come on against Stirling Albion at home, Gordon, when you're comfortable and you're getting the ball. I just like the look of the lad. He come on, he didn't have a lot to do, but he just, there's something about him, that nice bit of composure.
Yeah, he stepped past the
looks a confident player. He believes in his own ability. Yeah, I would like to see more of him. I think he's one certainly with a big future. I think they knocked back a lot of bids for him. Our clubs were really interested in taking the boy, and he decided to stay at Rangers, which is a big bonus for them. Lowry, come on. And what helps is at 18, it's getting your first goal. You know, that confidence, and you've got to say, he took his goal brilliantly. But there's a lot of development there. But as everyone says, technique-wise, I thought he was very good, the boy.
Remember that that game you were talking about, Ayr, when you managed at Fir Park?
Yeah.
That was 4 years before Leon King was born.
Seriously?
Just thought I'd put that out there.
4 years?
Yeah. Don't know how that makes you feel. But yeah, Mark, it's one of them. You just have to go and do your job. Rangers clearly did that last night.
Yeah, they did. I don't see the fuss. If Rangers weren't great, this game, like I said, about Aberdeen at home against Edinburgh City and Rangers last night, I think the two fixtures suited them well. It's just about getting through. It gave some players a rest, time to sit out. I actually was surprised at some of the names that actually appeared in the starting lineup for Rangers. I thought there would have been much more changes, and that'd be disrespectful to Stirling Albion. But they could have played a much weaker team, if you like, and still got the job done. So this stage, when there's so many games coming up and so many important games for Rangers coming up, it was just about rotating and getting the result in the next round.
Mark, I think there was considerable change. I think it was about seven changes.
But guys like Goldson and Balogun and Tavernier, I'm thinking, when I saw that, I thought, why? You know, you could play.
They always play, don't they?
They do always play, but you wonder, you know, I get that. Players always want to play, but I wonder if they just thought, oh, tonight would be a good night just to get the feet up and just relax, and we've got a busy schedule coming up. But Van Bronckhorst went to, I guess, yeah.
Would you have wanted to play if it was
definitely not
a Friday night game?
Depends on the bonus.
No, see, for me, I would always want to play.
I'm just thinking of the games coming up for Rangers, yeah. And when you tally up what Tavernier, or how many games Tavernier's played over the last, what, 3 years, you just think games like this might have been a game that he could have sat out.
The other thing that perhaps a sour note, Alex, would be the injury to Yanis Hadji. In fact, why don't we just hear what Giovanni Van Bronckhorst had to say on that. He speaks here about the game as well and that injury.
Well, I think we had one thing we had to do is to go to the next round, most important in the cup. You know, you have to be alert, you have to be there to compete whichever, you know, team you're playing. And so I'm happy with the win. I think we had a decent performance. So we're through to the next round and wait for the draw. Yeah, of course, because you know you want to end the game with no injuries, and so Yanis, we have to see what tomorrow will bring. He had some problems with his calf, so we are assessing him tomorrow.
Big chance for Killie, but Ollie Shaw drags it wide, so still level in that one. Cameron Blues has been shown a yellow card for Morton, still goalless against Motherwell. I guess, as the manager said, you wait and see. Alex, it actually looked really quite bad initially.
That's right.
And then you see him get up and walks off. So Rangers will need to assess him.
Yeah, absolutely, Gordon. What he did was, it was a little ball down the side. He took a blind shot, and the defenders came in, and on the follow through,
sure, we've had him, Alex.
And you know, he's obviously tried to connect with it, but unfortunately he's caught the defender. Listen, you just hope he's okay, because he's just starting to kind of get some more game time at the moment. Hadji scored some goals recently, so.
And Rangers would be looking at the moment for their creative types to be available, wouldn't they? I mean, if Joe Rebo, well, he is away at the African Cup of Nations, and Ryan Kent is going to be suspended for the Livy game. We all know there's that Celtic game round the corner, which Morelos will miss. Rangers will want as many of their attacking threats as possible.
Without doubt, Gordon. And the one thing about Hadji is he kind of brings a little bit of craft in around about the box. And because of the players that are probably going to be AKMR Roof potentially, you also have Morelos, then the more offensive players you've got at your disposal, the best. But I'm just hoping that it was just maybe a wee bit more contact, a bit more bruising. Having seen it, and I've also sampled some of them myself over the years, so from his point of view, he'll be looking to try and get back.
He shows an inclination, Van Bronckhorst, to have a real look at, you know, Leon King, Alex Lowry,
yeah.
A greater inclination, I think, than Steven Gerrard showed when he was in his final days at Ibrox. So, interesting times for Van Bronckhorst.
Yeah, I mean, going forward, Alex, have we seen the last of Brandon Barker, for instance, in a Rangers jersey? Jack Simpson, what does the future look like for these guys?
It's difficult to say, Gordon, because this is their opportunity to showcase what they can actually do. Depending on whether you can get Suter in the building, yeah, you could also bring Katic probably back as well this window.
I think that's not happening, though. Yeah, that's not going to happen.
So the thing is, you don't want to leave yourself short, Gordon. So I think if Suter comes in the building, I would expect Simpson to go. In terms of Brandon Barker, I think he's probably played you know, his last football for the football club. It's been a long time. He hasn't. Did he start in August? Did he start in August? One game.
Once, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're looking at a guy. It's hardly featured. And on the performance last night, I don't think he's done enough.
I actually forgot he was still there. To have seen him.
Well, he was on loan for a period as well last year, wasn't he?
But you're right. Look, it was difficult on him because everybody's thinking you don't perform tonight, and you were given it. Well, it's Stirling Albion. You're at home. You know, it's Rangers. You don't perform tonight, you're finished. You just wonder what the manager thinks, because you're right, I didn't think, for someone with the pace he's got,
doesn't take anyone on.
He does never go by. He never uses his pace. And I think that goes against the boy. So I'm like you. Unless it's an emergency, I can't see him featuring.
See, when you look at the both wingers, Gordon, when you look at it, you look at Sakala. He gets in, drives at people, he commits people, he gets shots off. And then you look at the other side, he was just getting the ball.
And the good news is, Sakala can now go to the hairdresser, because remember, he wasn't getting the Barnet cut until he scored in 2022. He's done it nice and early. He obviously had that fixture circled on his calendar. You don't want to get to May and you've still got...
How's the money thing looking? You remember you said last week there was a quiz thing?
We'll get to that later on.
I know what it is.
The other thing this weekend that's important for Rangers, tomorrow Nigeria play in the African Cup of Nations. And if they lose, Aribo can get on a plane and get back.
Who the plane shug?
I'm trying to remember. I wish I hadn't brought the subject up now. But the outcome is, you know, if Nigeria win, then he stays there.
Tunisia.
Oh, listen, I've got my Tunisia tap at the ready.
But if Nigeria lose, first plane back to Glasgow.
Sub for Kelly, Ewan Murray on for Chris Stokes, an injury, so a change at the back. And I'll tell you what, I'm not happy with the English Premier League trying to rival us for weird and wonderful incidents, because Brentford against Wolves, as you call them, Alex Ray, has been suspended. Give me a guess why.
Fog.
Okay. Floodlights.
Right, Gordon Deal.
Floodlights. It's
dark out there.
Right, okay.
Pitch invasion.
Hugh,
I can't think of a good reason why.
No, the officials. The officials have pulled up with injuries.
A drone is flying overhead, and so the players have been taken off.
Oh, really? That sounds suspicious.
Did you not say you fancied one of them?
A drone?
Aye.
I seen a story this morning about the drone that found the dog. Did you see that?
No,
with
a
sausage attached.
Sorry.
The dog was lost. Yeah, right. For a couple of days, and
so they attached a sausage to a drone and flew it around.
So
that's
the news
magnificent.
This morning, that still had the sausage attached.
Well, I wonder if it is this one.
You
behind
a drone.
But
sausage
anyway,
dog.
There is they're calling it an unofficial drone.
What is an official drone?
One that's permitted to be there, I guess, or it's not permitted to be there. Obviously, is it spying on the players? Is it filming them? Is it about to do them some damage? Is it dropping off an Amazon delivery that's got lost? I don't know. But either way, there is a drone above Brentford Wolves, and the game is being suspended.
That's strange.
There we go.
There'll be a drone over East End Park sent up by Stephen Mill, because Dunfermline have gone a goal down to Inverness Cali Thistle. Big day for both sides. Inverness Cali Thistle, second top of the championship. Dunfermline rock bottom, and they're a goal down.
Yogi's struggling there, Hugh. Yeah.
Yeah.
He got off to a terrific start as well. We went in, the manager's bounced.
Yeah, beat Hamilton last week, though. So that
yeah,
made
but
a big difference.
They're still sitting there bottom of the league. He'd be hoping to start climbing that league with the squad that he's got.
Yeah, it made a big difference. Whilst we're on the topic of your former club, Sunderland, one up on Portsmouth, Alex.
So was
see Patrick Roberts has signed there.
I did see that, yes. Hopefully it does the damage, Gordon, because it's time we get back up to the big leagues, up to the championship. But do you know that you talk about fans travelling? See the Pompey fans all over the country.
Great,
tremendous.
Right, Hugh, let's go for a 2-minute warning on the teaser. Just remind us of the question.
Okay, since season 2001-2002, 8 players have scored a brace in a Scottish Cup final. Who are they?
Okay, get your answers in. I'll give you 2 minutes. At Clyde SSB, we're looking for all...
Brilliant.
Tweet all of the correct answers on one tweet and get it over at Clyde SSB.
Where have you got,
Willow? 10.
10 names?
Yeah. Oh dear, honestly. See the sense of humour in this building. Aye. Producer Callum's just flagged up. Remember, what did I tell you about Adam Frizzell earlier on?
It's his birthday, but it's not next month.
Well, he's been booked, so.
He's booked his birthday.
He's booked his birthday.
He's been given a card, and it's not even his birthday.
Right, I wish I'd got
He's booked his birthday.
He's booked his day. Oh dear, he's got a yellow card for his birthday.
Oh, got another one of these. Good time to score.
Goal flashes with AspireGlasgow.com.
Comfortable now, Aberdeen 2, Edinburgh City 0, and it's Christian Ramirez. It was Hedges who scored the first one. He makes the second, crosses in, and Ramirez fires home to make it Aberdeen 2, Edinburgh City 0.
Always a good time to score. I wonder if that'll just ring the changes now after half time for Stephen Glass. Talked about it earlier. Tiring week for them. Big games coming up.
He's actually scored a few goals this year, didn't he? Ramirez, 13 goals so far this season, which is a decent return.
Yeah. I mean, he came here, nobody really knew that much about him, but he's done his job. I really do think that the bare minimum you can ask of Aberdeen is a 2-goal lead at half time, and I have no doubt that they will go on to score more goals now.
Okay, let's round this off then here.
The first half teaser
with the ScottishSun.co.uk/football for the best football news and opinion online.
Since season 2001-2002, 8 players have scored a brace in a Scottish Cup final. They are Oddson Edward.
Yes.
Anthony Stokes.
Yes.
Gary Hooper. Rudy Scatchell. Craig Conway.
Yes.
Chris Boyd.
Yes.
Henrik Larsson.
Yes.
And Peter Lovenkranz.
Oh, no. Some list that. Well done if you got it right. The podium looks like this. Charlie McAteer. Well done, Charlie. Third fastest. Second fastest goes to Mikko. And the winner was George Kirkland. Well done, George. Gold medal for you. And we'll have a Who Am I on the second half teaser a bit later. Peterhead have equalised. That changes things up there. Peterhead 1, East Kilbride 1.
Yeah, need to get in at half time there, East Kilbride. Good time for Jimmy Max Boyce to score.
The MK Dons lose Matt O'Reilly to Celtic. Now they're a goal down to a former Rangers player playing for Doncaster.
Did he? Do.
That's the man.
And if you were looking for a shock at Dumbarton Dundee, Dumbarton have been reduced to 10 men.
Oh man.
Oh, it's that guy we played golf with, Ross McLean. Off the ball incident, straight red card. Took his driver out.
Yeah, must have just volleyed him.
So anyway, down to 10 men. That's going to be...
That's a blow, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, especially in the cup, you're at home just before half time. You're going 0-0. So you're going to half time. You put all the pressure on to Dundee. But that is a blow.
Not much happening at Fir Park. Motherwell edging it. But
Gordon,
not
I'm more
deal.
Interested in see if I've left my window. It's been really poor.
Credit to Morton. I think credit to them. I think they've looked comfortable, to be honest. Few chances for Motherwell, few good saves, but
Peterhead.
Oh, what about that for a turnaround? Peterhead 2, East Kilbride 1, Andrew McCarthy. Cultons. That is
what would the kit man be saying?
That's bad timing
for East Kilbride.
I don't know.
Who does his mate?
Right, your mate? It is half time, I think, at Fir Park. Let's go and speak to Fraser Wishart.
It is half time. Motherwell 0, Morton 0. The game's been much as expected. The home side with most of the ball. Morton making it difficult for the Fir Parkers to create anything. And Motherwell, to be honest with you, have just been playing it too slow a tempo, too slow in the ball, and struggling to create any decent chances. The early stages are pretty even. Morton doing well. A long throw from Lewis Strapp caused real problems and was scrambled away. Motherwell slowly began to just take control in the 11th minute, probably the best chance of the first half. A really strong run into the box from midfield by Connor Shields. He beat Lithgow for pace easily, and a good shot across the goalkeeper. It was creeping in at the far post, but an excellent diving save by Jack Hamilton to tip the ball round the post. 2 minutes later, another excellent save by the Morton keeper, this time from a well-struck Barry Maguire volley from 18 yards. Shields then almost turned a Solholm Johansson knockdown into the net, just couldn't get a touch at full stretch, and Sean Goss fired a fierce left-foot shot across the goalkeeper but a yard wide. But Motherwell just couldn't get that breakthrough, and for all they'd most of the ball, it's a bit scrappy. Morton quite happy to be sitting deep, defending well, but really showing very little in attack and rarely near Kelly's goal. And then in the 35th minute, another effort from Goss, but again it's from distance. It tested Hamilton, 25 yard shot. It was beaten away by the goalkeeper. And as a half hour on and we had reached half time, Morton began to show a wee bit in attack. Gozi Ugwu pulled a half chance across the goal when he should have hit the target. He then fouled Carroll when trying to get on the end of a Riley cross, and then just on the break, Gavin Riley had a left foot shot from 12 yards and he should have done better, I thought, but he hit it straight at Liam Kelly. I wonder how long it'll be before Graham Alexander looks to his bench and brings on the main man, Kevin Van Veen. Half time at Fir Park, Motherwell 0, Morton 0.
It's also half time at Pittodrie, Dave Galloway.
Aberdeen 2, Edinburgh City 0 at half time. The home side had around 20 shots at goal in a really one-sided first half. In the opening few minutes of this one, Hayes had a long-range drive just wide. McCrory had a powerful running shot that tested Schwake, and the Dons had a penalty claim turned down after Hedges took a tumble in the box. Aberdeen took the lead after 22 minutes. Hedges first to the loose ball to score from a few yards after Schwake parried Ojo's drive and Hayes played it back into the mix. Ferguson's well-struck free kick wasn't far away, and Ramsey's shot was saved as the hosts continued to dominate. Ojo came very close with a drive from the middle of the box that grazed the post on its way past, but the second goal finally arrived on 44 minutes. Hedges turned supplier to cross for Ramirez to fire home. It's been a good professional display by the Dons so far. It's Aberdeen 2, Edinburgh City 0.
Let's go to Somerset Park and speak to Gabriel.
A United 0, St Mirren 2 here at the interval. Air came out, flying out of the traps. Their best chance of the game was when Maxwell dragged wide in the first minute. That was pretty much all they had in terms of goalmouth action. St Mirren then took control. Kyle McAllister headed in at the 7th minute. The back post, a ball came in from the left wing back, Tanza. And McAllister, not the biggest player, but he rose the highest, put them ahead. It was all St Mirren after that. A few balls in from Greg Kilty. Conor Ronan had an excellently struck half volley at the edge of the box. They just flashed wide on the 18th minute. They doubled their advantage in the 24th. The air defence was too open. And youngster Henderson jumped in. He slid a lovely ball through to Greg Kilty. Kilty opened up with his left foot and it was a neat finish past Aidan McAdams in the air goal. Christian Dennis was then at the centre of attention. He wanted a penalty, but it would have been very soft just after the half hour mark. Then he had a good chance to make it 3, but he fluffed his lines in the 38th minute. When the full the halftime whistle was blown here, there were some boos from the Air United supporters. Lee Bullen will try and rally his troops for the second half, but it looks like St Mirren are cruising through here. Jim Goodwin very happy with the first half performance. And the 2,000 Buddies fans down here on the Ayrshire coast absolutely loving life. At halftime at Somerset Park, Air United 0, St Mirren 2.
Let's go to Rugby Park. David Friel's been watching Kilmarnock Dundee United.
Half time, Gordon, Kilmarnock 1, Dundee United 1. I think we all said this tie would be a crack, and it has certainly lived up to expectations so far. United got off to a perfect start with the opener in just 4 minutes. It was so simple. Scott McMahon just played a simple ball over the top. Mark McNulty raced through and goal. He stayed calm as Zach Hemming came out and found the net via the post for his first goal of the season. As you said, he only came back in midweek after 4 months out, and that was a really big moment for Mark McNulty. Kelly, to be fair, came back into it. Ash Taylor had a header saved by Benjamin Sigrist after meeting a corner, but United were well on top. And Kieran Freeman playing right back, but getting forward at every opportunity, had 2 great chances to make it 2-0. Twice he found himself free inside the box, but again, Hemming came out, made great saves from close range. Kelly finally started to settle sort of midway through the half, and Rory McKenzie grabbed the equaliser in 20 minutes. Found himself clean through, and Sigrist after running on to Ollie Shaw's headed flick. The United keeper made a really good save from his first shot, but McKenzie stayed composed to slot the rebound into the bottom corner. Kelly had a real go after that. Fraser Murray had a shot saved. There were some other chances, and he had a really strong finish to the half, and Ollie Shaw dragged a decent chance wide in 35 minutes. So it's all to play for in the second half. This one could really go either way. Half-time at Rugby Park, Kilmarnock 1, Dundee United 1.
We will do a full round-up of the half-time scores next.
The fastest goals, the expert opinions. This is Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard.
Halftime scores in the Scottish Cup: Aberdeen 2, Edinburgh City 0, Arbroath 1, Darvel 0, Ayr United 0, St Mirren 2, Banks O'Dean 0, Raith Rovers 0, Clydebank 0, Annan Athletic 1, Dumbarton 0, Dundee 0, Kilmarnock 1, Dundee United 1, Livingston 1, Ross County 0, Motherwell 0, Morton 0, Partick Thistle 1, Airdrie 0, Peterhead 2, East Kilbride 1, and Kelty Hearts 0, St Johnston 0. We do have one full time from earlier on, of course, which was Auchinleck Talbot 0, Hearts 5, and Alloa Athletic Celtic is an hour and a half away, a 5:30 kickoff. The second halves in the 3 o'clock games are next.
The fastest goals, the expert opinions. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.